Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Where to Begin. I am Morgan, and with me as co-host, because he is the co-host and I'm the host, with me this evening is America's greatest national treasure, Mr. Chris, my husband. Yes, ladies, I nabbed him. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, hon. How are you?
You're doing all right? Only all right?
After that intro, it's like, it's so funny. People always, you know, people that have co-hosted other podcasts where they're like, when am I ever going to do an open? And then they attempt to do one and they go, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore.
Oh, I would love to always do the open.
What are you talking about?
An hour ago. Treasure. Maybe next time I do it, you're like, I don't know.
A global icon?
I haven't thought it through, okay?
But it's funny.
Let me think it through. It's my open, not yours.
I love how we hit record, right? And everything changes. An hour ago, I said, hey, do you want to do the open? And you went, I guess. It's like, you have no idea how to do an open. But now, all of a sudden, you're misconfident.
I can do an open anytime. You never give me enough credit. I can do an open. It's simple.
All right, well, I hope everybody, I truly hope everyone.
Okay. This is my open.
All right, go ahead.
I hope everyone had a safe and wonderful Christmas or Hanukkah, which I'm not sure when that was. Hanukkah may have actually been our first episode even aired.
So yes.
Hope everyone had wonderful Christmases. Happy holidays. Chris, my love, how was your Christmas? Do you want to tell everyone what we did for Christmas?
Yeah. So Christmas Eve, we'll start with Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, we stayed home. Not because of just COVID, but just, you know, with a 2-year old, we really just wanted to, really kind of make this the first year of just new traditions of creating our own, you know, being home, on Christmas Eve and Christmas. So yeah, we stayed home. Let's see, what do we have to eat? So, I grilled about a little over a pound of filet mignon, or, you know, tenderloins, as you get them at Whole Foods. They're called tenderloins, but it's fillets. We had some grilled mignons. Yeah, we had some grilled asparagus. I had a sweet potato. You made wonderful, spectacular crab cakes. They were so good.
Which I have improved. I stand by. I think my crab cakes are better than anyone else in my family, and it's because I add a breading to them that no one else adds. And it just makes it so much better.
I mean, quite frankly, and this is, you know, no offense to anybody in any family, but there's nothing that I've tasted in any of my family or your family that tops anything you've cooked.
Thanks, my love. It means I need to keep you away from my family and your family forever. So that statement stays true.
And then Christmas Day, we had a ham with
homemade
macaroni and cheese, which is my mom's recipe, which was spectacular.
Broccoli. And it's weird because that's not something you would normally think of on Christmas, but we have a toddler who eats broccoli, especially
loves
when broccoli. It's like fresh as opposed to like a frozen bag. So it's kind of annoying because you have to like wash it in veggie wash and then cut it and then boil it. But she eats it really well. That's literally all she ate.
Rough, for sure. Yeah. I'm looking over to my right and she has her little table by the tree and there's still two plates full of food that she didn't touch. But she did eat the pretzels and dip. Of course she ate the pretzels and dip.
So we had caprese salad.
Oh, that was the best. We had
caprese
salad for both days,
right? It was in the shape of a wreath. Say that again.
Didn't we have it on Christmas Eve as well?
We had that for Friendsmas. It was candy cane caprese because it was in the shape of a candy cane.
Candy cane, yeah. Very festive of you.
It was so festive. I also had a Christmas tree cheese, and it was cheese cut up in the shape of a Christmas tree.
That's correct.
That was beautiful. You even had
a cheese that was cut up like a star, right?
Of course. I had little grapes for like ornaments. I thought it through.
What was the other thing?
Oh, you forgot Christmas morning. We did have your parents come
over. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was basically going over the main meals.
But you forgot that main meal, which was the most spectacular meal of them all. The silence really shows how wonderful the meal was.
I mean, look, it was eggnog French toast, right? So basically, I guess you can't call it batter. Can you call it the batter?
But it's like, it's basically like French toast, except instead of using milk, you use eggnog. And instead of using vanilla for seasoning, you use cinnamon and nutmeg. So good, though. Like the eggnog flavor really comes through. Plus, I made homemade eggnog whipped cream.
Right.
And that was like, cinnamon, nutmeg. So instead of putting butter on it, you put that on it and you just melt into a food coma.
Yeah. So the healthiest thing that we touched was turkey bacon. Yeah, that was spectacular. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day was wonderful. I mean, there was just, I can't think of many things that were more beautiful than watching Addison come downstairs, you know, Christmas morning, and she saw the kitchen that that we built for her. And
you built that all on your own. You had a little bit of help from a friend, but it was really you.
Yeah. So, you know, we got this little, well, I mean, we paid for it. So I got to say that we got the kitchen that we bought her and that I helped build. And, you know, she, you know, we had the photo where she puts her hands to her mouth and does like a little spin thing. And she was just so excited. You know, she played with that all morning. I mean, it got to a point that we were done opening gifts for about 20 minutes and we forgot this huge Santa sack that had all these new clothes in there for her, and she had no idea. By then she was already addicted to, you know, the kitchen and then the little sports, you know, Fisher Price toy that she was, you know, loving, throwing a bowling ball and a basketball. But yeah, that was the best part, you know, even though, you know, you and I, we love opening up our gifts to each other. You know, the best part is watching Addie. And I know most people listening to this have a family. You know, that's obviously, that's what you do it for. And you try to make sure that they're happy and they're taken care of. And, you know, with this, the uncertainty that 2020 brought everybody, man, it was just, it was a blessing to be able to sit there and watch her. And then, you kind of are able to kind of put yourself in this grateful trance, right? Like to sit there and be like, wow, you know, and we'll talk about this during the show, that of all the problems that have happened in 2020, man, like we're just so grateful to be able to provide like a near perfect Christmas, you know, memory and Christmas holiday for the family. And that was the best part. I mean, I would have to say, obviously.
Yeah, definitely her reaction. And we're said like gift giving is both our love language in terms of how we give love and how we receive love too. So we also like, we definitely, like I know couples who don't give gifts to each other at all.
Oh yeah, and for like sure.
That, and I think that's awesome because for budget reasons, that would just be amazing, but that just wouldn't work for, like, we definitely go all out for each other. Yeah. And it's kind of, it's one thing, like at first, sometimes it bothers me in a way because I'm like, oh, I just feel like overindulgent. But then it reminds me like it's a way that we show love to each other. And we've gotten really good over the years. We really like you don't buy yourself that much throughout the year. And I can't remember the last thing I bought myself that wasn't like a work related thing.
Or
like
obviously we bought myself
a desk. Right. Or I literally did not have clothing or apparel to wear and I was forced to purchase something. So Christmas really truly is a time, it really is a nice gift giving exchange for us because we really don't buy things throughout the year. So it is really nice. And
it was a crazy year because we had a lot of things that we had to do to the house.
That really kind of came first to the house. So we still have so much we need to finish.
For sure. And you know, but and, you know, we can kind of go into it. And the topic of this is basically, you know, we'll talk a little bit at the end about Wonder Woman. We saw that on Christmas night.
Wonder Woman. That's not the theme song, but I'm going to do this anyways. Okay, I'm done.
And then, you know, I'll talk to Morgan a little bit, you know, coming from an astute background of a film, you know, what she thinks this whole HBO Max thing could mean, you know, for the future of the film industry and movie theater industry. Yes, for the film industry as a whole. And you know, Pixar just released Soul on Disney Plus. So, you know, who would have thought 2 years ago that a major DC film would be on HBO Max and then a huge Pixar film would end up on streaming as well. Yes, so streaming. I'll talk to you about that a little bit later. Cause I revert to you for the expertise there on film. I just watch them and then give my opinion.
And then I tell you when your opinion is wrong.
That's correct.
Typical wife, woman fashion.
And then, so we're going to kind of start things off where, you know, my wife and I were just talking about this today, and today it's a Saturday night where we're recording this and, day after Christmas. And, you know, we were talking, was it last night before we got in bed or was it this morning we were talking about COVID? Was it last night?
It's a little bit night? Of No, it was last night. We had a whole long conversation last night on Christmas. Let's just be clear.
No, it
on
was
Christmas,
after midnight. So it was Saturday.
So it was Saturday. It was technically still today. So yes, very, very early morning today.
That's correct. And so what we said was, and I didn't want to come off, you know, insensitive when I said this to her.
That's
and,
fine. When you, if you come off insensitive here, I'll just correct you for that's our right. listeners.
And I said, you know, it's as awful and truly we pray and we hope and pray that this is a once in a lifetime, you know, pandemic that we are personally going through and everybody else in this world. 2020, it for us, and it's just speaking in this household, we really thrived in 2020, you know, and it's funny because look, you know, in April, I suddenly lost my job. And you know, we were very, you know, blessed to be able to jump right into, you know, the unemployment, getting that extra $600 a week, which I deserved. I've been paying into that my whole life. So I don't care what anybody says.
Interjecting here real quick to kind of, sorry, to piggyback off of that too, because obviously we lost healthcare, which was a really big deal.
For sure.
However, since I'm a business owner, technically, once you lost your healthcare, we were able to get like, it wasn't real healthcare. It was really crappy stuff, but it held us over for some time. But the nice thing was, is that since you didn't have a job, it can be considered a business expense. So that was nice too. So even our healthcare is crazy as expensive as it was, at least it's something that we can claim as a business expense. So that wasn't, I mean, it was bad, but you know, not too bad.
Right.
So it's just incredible in a weird way. I don't want to brag and say like we've been blessed, but God really helped us out in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And you talk about, and you know, we'll talk about throughout the entire, you know, duration, however long we do this podcast, about, you know, provision and how God really does provide. If you can just sit in that little waiting period and, you know, you reflect or you surrender yourself to his timing. And normally most of the time, 100% of the time, you know, his timing is perfect. It's just a matter of us impatient humans to decide if we're going to believe that, you know, he is the ultimate provider for us. And in terms of, you know, we always hear, you hear sermons all the time from, you know, really good pastors saying, you know, God always gives you what you need, not necessarily ever what you want. And I believe 2020 for us in this family, it was more of, he gave us exactly what we needed and not necessarily what we wanted.
We got so much family time. Like, it sucked you losing your job.
Yes.
And I lost my job too. And I didn't have a job. I had, you know, I have my own business, but so I lost all but one of my clients. And the client that I kept was the smallest client that paid me the least amount of money, and they cut my hours significantly what they were using me for. But because you were home so much, you were able to just have that time with your daughter that you weren't having before. Your job before had you so stressed to the point where I felt like you weren't able to enjoy your time at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me some more time to kind of restructure some things in my business and rebuild a little bit. And that's time that I wouldn't have been able to have it because, you know, being a mom of a toddler, you only have so many hours a day that you can dedicate to working without, you know, staying up till 4 a.m., which I definitely had those nights. Mm-hmm. But it was crazy how blessed we were. And one of the reasons why we're talking about this now is because I think we were also talking about the outlook to 2021, because I feel like there might be a lot of you out there kind of in a similar boat as us. And Chris and I were worried that we're going to more feel the effects of COVID in terms of the economy and finances once 2021 hits.
Absolutely.
And there's no more aid. Like, it's not like things are going to bounce back. Like, I'm not going to magically get clients, you know, because my clients are still suffering.
Right.
And health, and when it comes to things like, I lost my train of thought.
Like
it was
healthcare.
So good. Oh, no, I was going to say it wasn't healthcare. It was, loans. Like all our student loans.
Yeah, for sure.
Those payments are all coming back.
Right.
So I'm really curious to see. And I think some people may be in the same boat too, where 2021 may be the year that people really struggle even more so. And we're a little worried for that and curious to see how it's going to go for us. Cause I just don't see the economy recovering
for sure
that quickly. Jobs aren't coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, people are still getting laid off like crazy.
I know. And like, you know, what I was saying is before
I interrupted.
Yeah. Before you interrupted, you know, losing the job that I had in April was, you know, ultimately when you look back at it now, was a complete blessing in disguise. And, you know, I was definitely either completely burnt out or I was just starting to get burnt out. It was a very toxic situation with a very toxic company. So, you know, I basically felt like I was an inmate at an asylum who was just, you know, like Shawshank Redemption. I was just waiting to get my release somehow. I mean, it was the worst timing, obviously, when you look at April. That was when, you know, the seams were just coming off off of everything in this country. And, you know, it was just mayhem. And, but look, you know, August came around and, you know, I ended up with a phenomenal opportunity to be somewhere I'm comfortable, somewhere that I know, somewhere
where you're valued,
where I'm definitely 100% valued, which is the most important thing. And, you know, that was, you know, facilitated obviously, you know, through a family friend, and it was able to really just kind of just move up, you know, the chain of command there to make things happen again and to actually, you know, be back employed. And, you know, and I speak to this as a man, you know, the problem I had most of the time is, yes, can I sit here and say that I was, you know, from April to August, the ability to spend every waking day with my toddler, you know, was something that I only dreamed about and never thought that this was actually something that could happen unless we somehow hit the Powerball and we got to be home or on an island somewhere.
Don't count that out. There's right, still a possibility.
Yeah, well, first we got to play the lottery to win it. So
you're not wrong.
So, but as a man, and I speak to men on this, I struggled every single day with, man, like I'm the head of this house. I'm the husband. I'm the dad.
A
national treasure. And my job is to take care of my family, is to provide. So it felt awful every single day. Part of me felt awful and less than, and not living up to the expectations that I put on myself, not just that I put on myself, but you know, what God puts on men. And that's fair. You know, I woke up almost like self-pity every day. It's like, you know, why am I not, like, I need to get a job yesterday and I got to be able to once again provide for the family. You know, I'm sitting here making money. I mean, again, it's tough because in your head, you know, you deserve to make that money sitting down because, like I said before, you know, I paid into it my whole life. But you want to be up and you want to be active. You want to be working. You know, you want, you know, your daughter or your kids to know that, you know, your daddy's working. He's working hard for the family. You know, that's why he's not here right now. But I don't take any of that time that I had with Addison or you for granted. Like you said, it was able, and we talked about this before, like this time really helped our marriage because we did go through some really tough seasons since, you know, April. You know, the divorce rate went skyrocketing during COVID, and that's because, you know, husband and wives were in the house together for longer than they ever thought they would be, right? But I think for us, it was a big time give and take. And I think what helped that aspect of us not getting, you know, too much in each other's way is that I had Addison so you could work, or you were doing, you know, classes for your business to be, you know, being the entrepreneur that you are, or, you know, that you're continuing to become and grow into. You know, we weren't in the same room all day. Now, again, that's another reason we decided to do this podcast, is we're in the same home every day, but we were apart for a lot of that. And even when I was unemployed at home, I might be able to say hello to you in the morning, give you a kiss. We might be able to have coffee together. But then, you know, by 9 o'clock, I might not see you again until 1 or 2 for lunch and for you to take Addie and do the nap time stuff. And then I might not really see you again until dinner. So yeah. It was no matter, you know, I don't subscribe to the theory. Like, well, yeah, but you're in the same house with each other. You know, how could that not be great? There's so many levels to a relationship and being there with someone and being present. And with you working, sure, I could sit in the bedroom and watch TV and talk, but what is
TV?
That?
TV or old wrestling programs?
Old wrestling, yes. I could sit in the bed, right, and I could watch old wrestling, but realistically, I can't have a big conversation with you because, look, you're working. I have to respect your time because, one, I'm not working. So there's only one person bringing home the bacon. Well, I mean, as often as we were allowed to go to the grocery store, it would, you know, only one person was really working their tail off, and that was you. So I, and like I said before, I spent a lot of my time very lonely in this house.
But also, I think, and I think you're probably not forgetting, but you're not mentioning the fact that there was the first month that you were unemployed was very different than the rest of the months, because I didn't come to you until about a month into it saying, listen, I could really use this time to benefit the family, because I felt guilty. Like I felt guilty to be like switching positions and being the one, you know, spending most of the time at work.
That's very sexual.
It was sexual, wasn't it? So I just felt, it was like a weird feeling. Like I almost felt like it almost made you feel worse. Like I didn't me working to make you feel inadequate as a man. But at the same time, I knew that that was an opportunity that neither of us would either get back. Like I would never have that much free time to get stuff done, to build up my business while knowing my child is being taken care of by the best person possible, the father, and not, you know, a babysitter. And it was time that you could get with Addison that you might not, you know, be able to do again just because, you know, you're working full time now. But I know it was kind of a really weird dynamic that first month, because I felt like uncomfortable talking to you about it. And like, I didn't want to make you feel worse. And it was hard making that shift into me doing a lot more full-time work. Cause you're right. I was literally, and then it made me feel bad as a mother. Like I missed my child.
Yeah.
And I felt like weird not being there for all of those things. Mm-hmm. It was a very interesting situation. Hopefully we'll never be in that situation. I mean, it'd be nice to be in that situation again for you to be able to have all that time with Addison, but not under the circumstances of losing
your
job.
Of course, we all wish that.
You know, maybe they'll change the laws of paternity leave and maybe we'll have another child and you can get 6 months paternity leave. Wouldn't that be wonderful
I know, right? And then, but the cool thing is, and I'll pat myself on the back here, is during that entire time, I never wanted you to shy away from talking to me. I wanted to know how things are going. If you know, if you had to spend a certain amount of money to join certain classes, it was an instant yes. Like, don't even ask me, just do it. You know,
so supportive. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I kind of have to, you allow me to watch men in wrestling tights.
I do. And then for Christmas, I bought you 3 pairs of shorts that hit above the knee, ladies and gentlemen, above the knee shorts that are themed to different Shawn Michaels wrestling tights. They're wonderful, but
I have very good looking kneecaps and thighs. Just saying,
the world needs to see them.
I agree.
I'm really glad we've invested.
Chris, you're so pale.
Well, you are, but that's okay.
Don't take photos, Chris. You're so pale.
Oh, goodness. But I mean, just one more thing I wanted to say about this whole thing before we put the kibosh on it is, like, when I, like I said, I lost all my clients because I was doing all event work. And in case anyone didn't know, events couldn't happen because of COVID.
You don't say.
So, I know, right? Shocker. Shocker. So, you know, I was put in a situation where, well, Chris was let go of his job. I lost everything I had worked towards, and then I had to pivot. So it's so funny because while I don't have a new job, I have a new, I've switched into Pinterest marketing and online business management and processes and systems and project management. And Chris is now doing accounting, and he was doing logistics before. So it's so funny how we both like completely switched in a way.
Right. And you know, basically what we're talking about is, you know, as we're at the end of 2020, thank goodness, you know, kind of just recapping, you know, to kind of help people understand, how certain people suffer in different ways this past year. And although a lot of it, we can say, yeah, we thrived, we did so well. And we did, especially, you know, financially, given how, you know, what happened with my job, but, you know, Morgan, you know, and it was just straight hard work. And you know, from the sheer amount of work that she did, we were able to, you know, stay afloat. And like she said, and we'll get into that for 2021, you know, not having student loans, you know, for 6, 7, 8 months is massive, can help anybody in this country. You know, do you hear that, government? You know, not straddling human, you know, everyone above the age of 25 with
that's right. We all made the choice to go to college.
Yeah,
and now we want you to help us with that self-choice that we made.
So, you know, it was a very difficult year, and I struggled mightily as a man. And, you know, we'll do podcasts where we will discuss, you know, the expectations from a husband and a wife, and, you know, things that are, you know, that are expected of us, and our feelings on how, you know, our personal experiences on that. You know, we will do shows, you know, about love languages and what ours were and how maybe we can help others with that. But nonetheless, man, 2020 was different for everybody. Each and every one of you listening, it was different for all of you. However, I can obviously see through social media and talking with certain friends who also suffered through all of this, you know, we all persevered, and, you know, we persevered, we fought. A lot of us had that strict faith and belief that God was going to provide and be there for us. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, I could speak for Morgan and I, have an incredible support group of great friends and family that are there for us if needed. And, you know, that's, you know, getting that bunker with those who really care about you and that you really care about. And, you know, we were able to get through it all. And we're still going through. It's still, you know, going, like we said, and I'll segue this into 2021, hon. And she said it, you know, Morgan said in the beginning how we're probably going to feel the effects that a lot of people felt in 2020 in 2021. And it's crazy to think that, but that's kind of like where it's headed. And we were talking about that. You know, my private student loans have already kicked back in. My federal kicked back in February. So there's
kick back in.
Right, your federal is going to kick back in at the same time. This is pretty much where, you know, that open gain that we had of income now gets zapped away. And so, yeah, basically it's now – okay, cool. People had to prepare themselves for 2020. Understood. Millions and millions of people had to do that. Now, though, the important part is, how do you prepare for 2021? Either to bounce back or to stay afloat. That's where we're at.
It's not going to consistently be there. Like, it's great we're getting another stimulus, but
if you want to call it that,
it'll probably be the last, I would think. And the fact that there's been no more news on like federal loans being paused, and I do understand the fact that a federal loan being paused is great because you don't incur interest, but it does literally just prolong the life of the loan. But it's still something that's a huge, it was really nice knowing that, you know, interest and money wasn't being added on in the long run. But, you know, that's not, there's been no sign or anything of that continuing. So,
right,
you know, I don't think the aid is going to be there as much. And I think it's because I feel like everyone has this mindset that COVID is 2020. And it's, yeah, not. It's, there's
that's
no,
not how it works.
There's no rule that it stays within this year. Yeah. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what 2021 brings, because I worry that it'll bring even more hardship. Because like I said, businesses still aren't recovering, and it'll take a really long time.
No, I mean, if you look at like PA, I mean, businesses are probably on the brink. Even more businesses are on the brink of closure because, you know, we're going into mid-January where no one's allowed to have indoor dining. So, you know, this, you're in the winter now where a lot of, you know, they say, oh, but you can have outdoor dining. Nobody eats outside in January, right? Yeah. So how are you making this business? You got to, you know, hope and pray that your takeout business is big, and you still got to, you know, pay your rent. You still got to pay drivers, you know, stuff like that. You got to hope people will come out and get the food. You know, there's just so many uncertainties, like you said, that are not, you know, strictly 2020. Like, this isn't a video game. You know, this is going to have real life effects, I think, for a couple years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all going to have to go through it. And now we just got to find a way. And then this is where your brilliance comes in with business management and finance management, where how do we keep ourselves at the very least afloat through the next calendar year, or for the next breakthrough that we can hopefully, you know, stumble upon or work towards. And that's a real fear, right? I mean, I'm not wrong on that.
No, it's a very, very valid fear.
Yeah. So if you're, Morgan, it's almost like an interview, but it's not an interview. So I'll ask you a question. If you're,
I'm supposed to be the host, so I don't know why you're interviewing me.
So if you're, you know, a husband, a wife with a family, like, how are you approaching? Take away how we are, or you can use how we are approaching, how you personally thought about approaching it. How do you approach this moving forward? Like, what's the first thing you do?
Well, I will say, like, for us, and it's not something that you can do now, and which I feel bad saying this, but like, for us, we tried to be really forward thinking. And so, you know, we had a personal loan that didn't stop, and we put as much extra money on that as possible. And hopefully that should be paid off in a couple of months, and that will free up some extra income to be able to go towards the loan in case, you know, in case we lose money or something, we'll have extra money in budget now.
Yeah.
So I think we tried really hard to take advantage of, while we weren't paying federal loans and student loans in general, to put more money into savings, really to prepare for 2021 to make sure we're safe mm-hmm. and we're fine there. And I mean, I have to sit down and redo our budget and take a look. Like, I like having a list of things like, okay, if we have to cut, here's what we cut. You know, even when it comes down to meals, like, I know what meals are more expensive than other meals, and knowing what we can afford to make and not afford to make. So I think just being prepared and knowing where we can possibly cut on things is really huge. And not cutting things preemptively, but just knowing, okay, if something happens, our first step is doing this, is doing X, Y, Z with our budget. And then we move on to this and just kind of knowing that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the perfect way to go. Obviously, I'm just the passenger on all of this. I'm just gonna let, she's gonna tell me what to do. Chris, you have $8 for the week for coffees.
You're not wrong though.
That's how
I tell
it used
you
to
that
be.
All the time.
Yeah, it's like, Chris, you know, I just did the budget and everything. You have $8 for the week in coffee. Do that amongst as you please. If you want to buy 3 coffees in a day, don't come to me in the next 5 days and ask me if I can get a coffee. So that, and I'm not saying that as a joke. That was when we were living in our apartment. That was
needed our home.
I think at the very beginning of the home, we were like, Chris, you know, you have $11 of fun money for the whole month.
No, you had more than that.
There were times.
I broke it. There were times it was very little. Yes, it was very little. But I mean, that didn't include like food. Like, food was a whole separate budget, and like entertainment, like cable stuff, that was all separate. It was Wawa coffees and bangs.
I wasn't kidding when I told people, like, my wife budgets to the penny.
I do.
And it's not a joke. And I'm not kidding. Like, it's not like if I tell her if something was $34.99 and I told her it was $34 and she saw that it was $34.99, she goes, no, Chris, I got to budget that somewhere. That extra dollar can go somewhere.
It's got to come out of something.
Like, Chris, that extra dollar is a yogurt for your lunch.
It is a yogurt. That's a breakfast. That's one day of breakfast. You have now starved yourself for one morning because you spent an extra 99 cents.
And
I
you
sound
didn't
ridiculous,
tell me.
But this is how it works in our house.
It is. It's very true. So now let's kind of go into, I guess, our expectations maybe for each other from a relationship standpoint. It's going to be the first full calendar year of COVID that, you know, I'm, you know, God willing, hopefully going to be working full time. You've pivoted your business and you're picking up a lot more different ventures here. As a couple, you know, what do you think what are your expectations for us, you know, moving forward, how we're going to once again, you know, brave another year in a year, like you said, foreshadowing might be a little bit more of a struggle than 2020 was, but you know, what's your outlook personally? Again, we've already talked about this, but this is for people that may be asking themselves the same questions.
In terms of like our dynamic, husband, wife.
Yeah.
I think me personally, as the wife in the relationship, as wife and also as a business owner, I need to get better at making more time for us and making more time for me. Because one thing that I've really, really struggled with is like when you are out of work, and not even when you were out of work, even when you had a new job, there's a difference when you have a job with a contracted income and when you're a business owner, because when it comes to being able to make money or lose money, that was all me. Like
yeah,
each month could be different and I could pick up contracts and make extra money. So like there was a different, I'd say, weird pressure on me. And I definitely took it too far. Like I had way too many nights of working till like 4 a.m.
Yes.
And I became very resentful of you when you were able to come home from work and like watch wrestling. You know, once Addie went to sleep, because you always took care of the bedtime routine. And I was always there, but usually I worked a lot of events in the evening, virtual events. So I couldn't be there for all that stuff. But then it was like, you know, once Addie was in bed and my event was over, I had to go back to work.
Yeah.
Like I had to go back and do more things, whether it be for Pinterest or my event clients, because a couple of one of my event clients did come back. And if you got to do things like watch a football game or, you know, watch old wrestling things, you know, I got kind of resentful because I wasn't having that time. Yeah. I had no free time. And, you know, to be honest, the only person I can truly blame on that is myself, because I put that pressure on myself. And so I think for 2021, it will also be good for our marriage is if I make more time for self-care and time for me, because I think if I had that time to be able to just relax and unwind, as opposed to using every minute for either you, Addie, or work, I think I would have been a lot happier in terms of, and a nicer wife. And I probably wouldn't have jumped at you as much for watching 1985 football where you can't even see the numbers on the back of the jerseys.
It was 1992 to 95, and you still might not have been able to see the numbers, but I understood everything and could see everything that was going on.
So I think for 2021, for me personally, I'm very headstrong and I have a lot of goals and I really want to meet our goals. But one of my goals is to, I don't necessarily want to slow down, but I think I need to make more personal time for both myself and also for our marriage. You know, we didn't have date night for months and we used to have date night every single Tuesday. And a lot of that was because I would work on Tuesday nights. But, you know, I think we need to just make sure we have that time built in.
I agree. And that's, you know, and it goes for me too. You know, for me, it's, you know, I just talked about this where it's a total God thing. And, you know, I'm leaving it to him and praying to him to have more patience, to be more, quote unquote, available. To be present in most, you know, most conversations, depending on what they are.
if it's things that matter to me, I don't know if you'll be super present.
So, you know, and, you know, mostly it's for me to be, you know, to not be as high strung and to do what I can to be the best influence for my daughter, but also be the, you know, to be the undisputed leader of this family and to prove to people that, I mean, I don't have anything to prove to anyone except for those in this house and to God. So if I can know that inside of my house, I'm respected and I'm trusted to lead the family to where I'm supposed to go and to be a good, what's the word I'm looking for? An influence, a great influence. Influence on, you know, what my daughter sees every day and what you see and, you know, who you married and what you, your expectations are of me moving forward. You know, 2021 is going to be a challenging year for all of those things. I would assume from what we are expecting moving forward. So, you know, I'm just praying to grow, you know, as a spouse, as a man and, you know, as a dad. That's what I pray for every day is just growth overall, just growth, and immunity. 'Cause I don't want to get sick. So I do that as well, but, we're very excited for 2021. And also we're very anxious to see what it brings, but, day to day, you know, we can't think a month from now, 2 months from now. We have to take every day as it is because, you know, it's cliche, but tomorrow is never promised to us. So, live and love as much as you can each and every day. All right. So before we get out of here, my love, to a much more positive note.
Wonder Woman. Is that where you're going?
Yep. No, I wasn't going to sing it, but yes, I'm going to Wonder Woman. So Wonder Woman was released in theaters and on HBO Max on
correct.
Christmas.
Correct. It was, Chris. That's a true fact.
That's correct. That's why I deliver here facts. And we watched it last night.
Battlestar Galactica.
And we watched it last night. It was 2.5 hours. It went by fast. We're not going to give away any spoilers, obviously, because, you know, I think you get, 3 weeks, right? Is that like the rule? 3 weeks before people can start posting a bunch of spoilers. I think that's like an inside thing.
If it's not, it should be. That should be just a human courtesy.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks. I think it's like 3 weeks. So what were your overall thoughts on the movie? You know, before it came out, critics were raving about this movie. And then it came out to not a huge reception on the social medias. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. The ending was blah, blah to me. I didn't understand it quite. But I thought I thought everything was well done. The score was immaculate by Hans Zimmer. What was your thoughts on the movie?
One, I hope Hans Zimmer comes back in concert because I really, really want to go again just to hear the one that Wonder Woman.
Oh, absolutely.
Part of it. We got to see Hans Zimmer in concert 3 years ago.
Yes.
It was before Addie was born, I think.
It was before Addie.
It was definitely before Addie, and it was just incredible. But anywho, no, I thought it was really, really good. The ending was bad, and it wasn't that it was a bad ending. It was just a rushed ending. It was almost like they ran out of time. They didn't, like, I don't like it when movies just end. Like, I like it when there's some sort of, like the last 10 minutes of a film, if they're slow, that's fine. But as long as they kind of finish out the plot, and they didn't really finish out some things, it just didn't feel finished. How many more times can I say finished in a sentence? I thought it was good. I thought compared to the first one, I thought the plot of the first one was a little hokey because Ares was the bad guy. I think it was Ares. And so I thought that dynamic was a little, I know it's a comic book and I know it's how a comic book goes, but I thought that made it a little hokey. But this one, I thought the plot was they did a really good job because, you know, Wonder Woman, she is a demigod, right? She's Zeus's daughter, right? Zeus's daughter. Mm-hmm. And that can lend itself to be super cheesy and corny. Right. And I thought they did a really good job of staying true to the story without being cheesy or corny. So they still had a couple little elements of, you know, the god stuff, but it was very minimal and it was well done. I actually considered it to be very close in line with how Marvel does things. Cause if you look at how Marvel is, all of Marvel stuff should be super incredibly cheesy, but they do such a good job with the plot and the writing. Mm-hmm. And I felt this was actually, out of all the DC movies, I felt this one was the most on par with a Marvel script.
That's not Dark Knight trilogy, right?
Right, that's separate. I mean, that's Christopher Nolan.
It's on a tier on its own. Yeah.
That's its own thing.
Yeah.
But no, I felt like this one was the one that I thought, and I love Marvel because I think they're so well written and just beautifully done. Visually stunning, as my husband likes to say about every film. I thought it was really good, really entertaining. And like I said, it was a 2.5 hour movie. No, I think you said it was a 2.5 hour movie and it really went by fast. And I really like that. Yeah. I actually like long movies because I like movies that have a lot of content and
have
a rich plots with lots of twists and turns. And it definitely did. And it definitely went by fast. It was a very quick moving movie. It just, I think you needed to spend a little bit more time on the ending.
To me, it was, and I said this after the movie when we were watching it, obviously Endgame was massive, but there were like times during the movie, I'm like, man, can we just get this over with? Like, it was just lagging in some areas. It was just it was almost a 3 hour movie. But I think Wonder Woman, to me, how it felt to me was the quickest, 2.5 hour breeze by that I've been through since we saw Skyfall. I remember when we saw Skyfall and it got through 2.5 hours. You're like, oh my gosh, it's already over. Like, give me more. I want more. And that's one of the best movies I've ever seen. But that's how I felt with Wonder Woman. But then you get to the end and you're like, oh man, well, that was a buzzkill.
Yeah, it just didn't feel done. And I will say, going back to Endgame, since you made this comment, I think one thing that works with that is even in the slow parts of Endgame in any Marvel movie, the characters are so well written, you can just enjoy the banter.
Well, it's because of how established they are.
I know. Like when Hulk was in the diner and they wanted pictures of Hulk but not Ant-Man, like that did nothing for the plot.
It was
definitely a slow time, but it was still so enjoyable because the characters are so well established, the writing's so good.
Yeah.
When DC does that, like I felt like Justice League had so many of those moments, it just didn't resonate
and it seemed
really slow because their characters were not that well developed and the script was not that good at all.
Right.
So I felt like the fact that Wonder Woman just kept going avoided kind of those, potential blah, boring things.
Oh yeah, I agree. And so now let's get into like the real, guts of this whole thing is, why are you looking at me like that?
No, I didn't know where you were going. I thought that was it. And now you're throwing a bombshell on me.
I told you, remember I said I want you to.
I know. I haven't slept in 2.5 years.
I know, because I get so much sleep. And then, that's funny. So you look at this and this movie, I think since Onward, really, because, that came out when COVID just hit. But, Onward still had a week in movie theaters. you know, Wonder Woman's the first real massive motion picture. I don't count Milan. That wasn't going
to. I was about to say Milan.
I don't think that was a massively. It's not Wonder Woman. It's not a DC Marvel movie.
Well, that's true because Mulan was a Disney film, and Disney has their own platforms. This was the first studio film that didn't have its digital platform that made a deal with an existing digital platform for streaming.
And you know, we know from many reports, and you know, I listened to a great podcast led by two of my good friends, George and Dean, that do a 007 station 007 podcast that you guys can also hear anywhere. They do a great job with that, where a lot of, you know, the makers or the distributors of James Bond have been, you know, in, you know, behind closed doors begging someone to pay them like upwards of $600-700 million to put, you know, No Time to Die on a platform, because No Time to Die has been delayed four times now. So it's like, so more
because there's really no time to die.
So let me ask you, as someone that's been in this industry and was, you know, very successful in it, are these movie companies, these film companies, are they quietly hoping that things start to go to a digital way, or are they still holding out hope? Like, a lot of directors are still hoping that there's still a theater business. Where do you think this is going, and will it be good for the movie industry?
So I think they don't know right now, and I think that's why No Time to Die has yet to make a contract with anyone, because No Time to Die is the last Daniel Craig Bond film, and I believe he's very well liked. And even if he isn't well liked, his films, other than Quantum of Solace, have been very successful, and people have really, really liked them. Mm-hmm. So this was a film that, if it came out in theaters in normal times, would make a lot of money, both here and overseas. And what movie theaters, what studios don't know right now is, am I going to be losing money by signing this deal for $500, $600 million for HBO Max to get it? Or am I going to make money because no one's going to go to the theaters? Mm-hmm. And so I think studios are trying to figure that out. And, you know, obviously Wonder Woman was the first big one. And I think I told you this today. Was I feel like, you know, they're just going to really, really carefully be watching to see who saw it in theaters versus who saw it online, and to see what makes most sense. You know, can we do both? Does the studio not make sense? Because I think part of the deal was, you know, when movies come out in theaters, I believe the pricing structure is different for every production studio, because the theaters are the distributors, and the movie studios are the, you know, they're the producers, they're the distributors, and the movie theaters are the exhibitors.
Yes.
So when a movie comes to a theater, there's always, you know, like AMC makes, I think usually they make about 10% of the films during their first week run, which means studios are making 90%. So for AMC to stay afloat, they depend on things like popcorn and sales like that.
Yeah, no, it's true.
So, with Wonder Woman, I think because that they agreed to do HBO Max, I think they had to give, AMC was the big one who took it. Regal may have taken it too. But I think the deal was cut. They didn't make nearly as much money. Warner Brothers didn't. They had to give the theater more money. I think that was the deal. So it wasn't their typical cut. So even if a ton of people went and saw Wonder Woman in theaters, the studios aren't going to make as much money off of it, because I'm pretty sure that just the exhibitors got a better percentage of the thing. So basically what I'm trying to say is I think films are trying to figure out if they're going to lose money or not, which is why No Time to Die hasn't come out. And I think we're also going to have to see, once, you know, the magical time when COVID ends and everyone feels safe to go out again, is it going to be a lasting trend where people prefer to watch films on at home? Because that's the other thing movie theaters don't know. Movie theaters don't know if people, you know, if HBO Max would be successful, you know, for example, for right now, or if it's going to be a lasting thing. And you and I talked about this. I think it's going to be a bit of both, which is going to be incredibly difficult for movie theaters to stay afloat, because movie theaters can't stay afloat for just a few films here and there if most people are staying home. Because you and I talked about how if No Time to Die came out in theaters and HBO Max, and we get HBO Max, so it wouldn't cost us a dollar to watch it at home, we'd pay $30 for us to go to the movie theater to watch it, because it's just one of those films you want to see on the big screen.
Absolutely.
With the sound all around you, like those experience films you want to see in theaters. But theaters can't survive off of people only going to see those alone, at least not in the price structure they're at right now. So I think it's going to be or really, I don't know. I just think that they don't know. And I think there's just a lot of testing going on to see. And I think No Time to Die keeps getting delayed because I think that their fear is that they know they would make more money in person. And they're almost waiting for the time where people feel safe to go out again because they don't want to lose revenue.
I almost feel like though it might be smarter for them to come out with it on digital and just take that money, because I'm looking at it now. I mean, this is a $250 million budget for this movie. And if it does come out in April, which is scheduled to do April 2nd, 2021, you're not going to make, I'm not sure with how theaters are structured right now, you're going to make that budget back. Well, I mean,
you have to remember overseas, they make a lot of money overseas.
Well, I mean, you could do it overseas. Like, that's fine.
The UK.
But, you know, this is an American, you know, the American market is where they focus at a lot of times. And that's, you know, that's the focus is American theater. So
we also have to be careful too. I'm sorry for cutting you off there, but especially with No Time to Die, since that's a film that definitely does well overseas, mm-hmm. China and Europe, specifically UK, you know, Warner Brothers also has to take into, is it Warner Brothers? No, it's Universal. Things I should know. It's definitely not Warner Brothers, I don't think. I think it's Universal.
Oh, look, just keep going.
Sony? It's what, out of all the studios I've listed, it's probably, no, it's definitely not Sony now that I think about it. You know, they have to also consider there's different COVID restrictions in different countries, and they don't want to lose money from that either. So they're not just looking at the United States and how the United States is functioning in terms of an entertainment. They also have to look at it and see, you know, are UK theaters open? Because they want to make sure they can't do an open in the UK 6 months before here. And yeah. They can, and vice versa. So they have to take so much into account before they make that decision.
Yeah. So it's distributed by United Artists in North America and Universal internationally.
So UA is an exhibitor, which mm-hmm. I think it's either owned by AMC or Regal. It's a small independent one. Yeah. Owned. I think it's owned by one of the big ones now. And then so Universal makes sense.
Yeah. So they purchased that from Sony. In 2000, I think it was like 2016, I think. So, I think that's a big part is the budget of these movies. I still believe that once things get back to normal, that we've become now so accustomed to watching these movies and things on all these little platforms that are in all these, you know, paid networks that are coming out. I still feel like I think movie studios are a little bit in denial with the fact that this might be the way of the future right now.
This is the way.
This is the way. And look, for someone like you and I don't like to say that because I, you know, the few times a year I love going to the movie theater.
Which is interesting because then we may see a huge comeback. We may see traditional movie theaters as we know them close. We may see a comeback in terms of the popularity of IMAX because IMAX exists for those few films that people want a big experience for.
Yeah.
And so IMAX could come out on top in terms of exhibitors. Because, you know, people will pay to go, like I would pay to go see No Time to Die in IMAX. Absolutely, I would.
Yeah, I agree.
But I wouldn't go pay to see any random rom-com. Yeah. I wouldn't pay to see a random rom-com anyway, to be realistic. I'd probably wait till that comes out. But, you know, it's interesting. We may see AMC, Regal, all of them go away kind of as we know it. And IMAX may end up on top because they exist for that purpose, for the experience cinema.
Oh, no, I agree. So if you could predict the next year or so in your head, does the movie theater industry make it out alive here?
Next year or two, yes.
Okay.
Because I think there's going to be a lot of testing with studios to see what works and what doesn't work. Like Wonder Woman could have done the option of just doing HBO Max.
They could have. You're right.
They could have. So I definitely think they'll be around for at least another year or two while studios decide it, while the distributors decide how best to put out content.
Yeah, wasn't a bad idea. I said it wasn't a bad idea to double dip there if you're Wonder Woman. So,
and you and I talked about like what's stopping if Warner Brothers doesn't want. I mean, they make a lot of money from HBO Max, right? Mm-hmm. Too. Yeah. So, but what they could do, they could do a testing and they could come out with their own app. And you download the Warner Brothers app, and when a new movie comes out, you know, it's available on the app for a month. You download it, you rent it for 24 hours at a time, and you pay $19.99. And $19.99 is typically more than a price of one ticket, but it's cheaper than two tickets. So, you know, they could test it that way and see if they make more money that way, as opposed to a deal with something like HBO Max or Hulu or Prime or Netflix. Although I don't think Netflix is doing that because Netflix is trying to focus more on their own content. So Netflix is kind of out on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Netflix is pretty much focused strictly on their
content that's already been content. Out yeah. and then creating content. I don't think that they would really do a deal with with like a studio for
their own release. Trying to find what it cost HBO Max to
get Wonder Woman.
Yeah, to get Wonder Woman, but I'm not seeing it. It had to have been a lot because, you know, the expectations of Wonder Woman was to be a $1 billion film. So,
And then you have a movie like Soul that came out on Disney Plus. So Disney isn't getting any money from an exhibitor for it.
No.
So that's really interesting to me. I'm curious how that worked out because they didn't do it like Mulan. When Mulan came out, they had a charge on it.
Right. That'll wrap everything up that we have here. The one cool thing that Wonder Woman and No Time to Die has in common, Hans Zimmer did the score for both. I'm really excited to hear Hans Zimmer.
I thought you were going to say Billie Eilish.
No. No, not Billie Eilish. Last thing, though, Pedro Pascal, the star of that movie.
Yes, he's so
good. Gosh, he was so good.
His hair really distracted me. I really hated
his look. Oh, it was 1984.
And I prefer him with the mustache look of the Mandalorian that he had going on.
You know, I think we're witnessing the next, like, big star. I mean, he's been everywhere. I think he was on Entertainment Weekly magazine as like an Entertainer of the Year.
Now, I didn't see that. Was his Mandalorian helmet on?
No, it was just him. It was him.
It was just him. That's not as exciting.
Oh.
I mean, it's cool, but
yeah, of course, yeah.
That's not the way. You have to shield your face.
I agree. All right, my love, thank you so much. This is episode 2. We're through now, and we're on our way to New Year's, which should be a lot of fun with us staying in the house or going to visit, you know, family and friends. We'll see what next week brings us. For me, it's just going to be a busy, busy work week. We have year-end stuff for those that are in the accounting business. That's just how it goes with us. Morgan is just busy every day doing 15 different things in 15 Correct. Different areas. But nonetheless, thank you guys.
None of them being laundry or dishes.
Thank you guys so much for the reaction of listening to episode 1. We really hope you guys enjoy this episode as well. We don't know what we're going to be getting into next episode, but you guys will surely know once we figure it out. We hope and pray everybody had a wonderful Christmas holiday, any holiday, whether it's, you know, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa.
Shouldn't I be doing the closing here? I'm supposed to be the host.
I mean, I let you lead in. It doesn't mean you're the host.
Oh, you let me lead in.
I allowed you to lead into this.
Thank you for allowing me.
You're welcome. thank you guys very much for the support, and we are so, you know, humbly grateful for that. We just hope to keep growing this thing. So definitely share us with your friends from a digital standpoint. Don't get any ideas when I'm saying to share us with your friends. We're unavailable.
No one had that idea until you said that, Chris.
Oh, yeah. We have some friends who would text us and say those ideas. Okay.
That is true. We do have those friends.
But thank you guys so much. We love you guys. We will continue to pray for you. If there's anything you guys want to hear, find us on the social medias. Morgan is at Pinnovative with a P as in Peter, Pinnovative by Morgan. And I am at DadDFran55 on the Twitter at ChrisDFran86. You can find me there as well. I probably won't friend you on Facebook or accept you unless I know you. So no offense. Hope everybody has. I'm sorry. I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your 2020, and let's get excited and positive thinking heading into 2021.
Yes, positive thinking. The Eagles still have a chance.
Oh, it's Dallas week. I hate Dallas. I'm so excited. Everybody have a good one. God bless you. Be safe. Wear a mask and just listen to the rules. Let's get through this. All right. Love you guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye.